Okay, Chav Gimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah, like whatever, 8 lines in the bottom of the page.
Alright, so what else?
What do you think, B2? B3. Okay, the previous Mishnah on top of the page says like this. Two women were captured. This one says, I was captured and pure. This one says, I'm captured and pure. The din is, we don't believe them. But if they testify on each other that the other one is pure, then we do believe them. Right? That was the previous Mishnah. So now the Gemara says like this. V'chein shnei anoshim. Two people come. And today this is not as relevant as it used to be in the olden times about a kohen. The question, could he eat truma? Could he go into the, you know, work in the duchanin, b'chaz kohenim, and so on. So Mishnah says like this. V'chein shnei anoshim. If there's two men. Ze'eme kohen ani, v'ze'eme kohen ani. This guy says, I'm a kohen. This way the guy says, I'm a kohen. So the din is, ain't in the morning, they're not believed. In other words, we don't know before that this is a kohen. Out of the clear blue, they come to, not to show, that's what I'm saying, this doesn't apply today. Guy comes to show, says he's a kohen, you can give him an aliyah. Here we're talking, can you give him truma to eat? Can he be ola to the base of me? Can he work in the base of me? You know, things like that. So he says like this, they cannot be given truma. Here he says, in fact, you can't even give an aliyah, but that doesn't apply in today's world. Anyway, a guy comes along and says, I'm a kohen. This guy says, I'm a kohen. Yeah? So what's interesting, the poskim write like this. He's not believed. That means you don't give him an aliyah, you don't duchen, you don't give him trum and everything. But because he says, I'm a kohen, the restrictions of the kohen he does get. That means he can't go to cemeteries. He can't become tamei, because he's, like we said before, he makes himself something forbidden. Okay? What happens, what happens if they testify on each other, meaning that one guy says, I'm a kohen and he's a kohen, the other guy says, he's a kohen and I'm a kohen and he's a kohen, then, they are believed. Okay?
One Mashiach know who's
kohenin?
Does the Mashiach, who's here now, know who the Kohen is right now?
Sure, we know.
Okay, can I go ask him if I'm a Levi?
Call him, yeah. You're only a Levi, you're no good. Okay, so he says, just like we learned, remember, in the previous Mishnah, they're testifying on each other. I was captured and I'm pure, and she was captured and she's pure, and then the other one says the same thing about, so then they're believed. But that's the first opinion of the Mishnah. First opinion of the Mishnah is, if one guy says I'm a Kohen, the other guy says I'm a Kohen, we don't believe him. But if he says I'm a Kohen, you're a Kohen, and the other guy says I'm a Kohen, and you're a Kohen, then we do believe him. Because basically, one witness is testifying on each other. Right? Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din, and Reuven says like this, I'm a Kohen, and Shimon's a Kohen. Shimon says I'm a Kohen, and Reuven's a Kohen. So because Reuven is testifying on Shimon, and Shimon is testifying on Reuven, so with one witness is enough to make him a Kohen. But if he says on himself, I'm a Kohen, the other guy says himself, there's no testimony. Can't testify on himself, I'm what I am. But Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Ein ma'ilin l'kohuna al pi ed achad. You cannot elevate a person to kohuna based on one witness. So he argues on the first case. The first case says, if Reuven says, I'm a Kohen and Shimon's a Kohen, so we believe him that Shimon's a Kohen. Even though it's one witness. The Yehuda says, you cannot make somebody a Kohen based on one witness. But Ahmed Abelazar, there's three opinions here. Abelazar says, no. A must say, when is a single witness not enough? B'makom shiyash eidin. When people challenge it and say he's not a Kohen. Avul b'makom shein kayanim, shein eidin, but in a case where there's nobody complaining against it, ma'ilin l'kohun al pi eid achod. He becomes a kohen based on the testimony of one. So as we have three, so far, we're not done yet. It's another opinion of Shimon Gamliel says, ma'ilin l'kohun al pi eid achod. He could become a kohen based on one testimony. Which is really the first opinion of the Mishnah. Right, and I was going to ask, what's the difference between the two? Okay? So the first opinion says like this. Everybody seems to agree, if a guy says, I'm a Kohen, you don't believe him. But if he says, I'm a Kohen and you're a Kohen, and you say, I'm a Kohen and you're a Kohen, so then there's one witness, so it's good. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, not true. You cannot make somebody a Kohen based on the testimony of one. Comes along and Rabbi Elazar says, no. If there's complainers against him being a Kohen, then you can't. If there's nobody complaining, then you do. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, Malu could not be a Rechot. Okay, one witness can make a Kohen.
In general, when do we use one Ed? We never use one Ed, right?
Well, it depends. Be Yisurim, one witness
is
believed.
Okay.
Right. Eirachon nam be Yisurim. But the Gemara is going to discuss, like, later on in the Gemara, not yet, why, what's this whole issue with the Kohen? Why isn't one witness enough? One witness is enough to testify Yenisei v'Heter. One witness is enough to say this is treif, or this is kosher. Why can't one witness testify he's a Kohen?
That's my question. When do we make a line? Two, you need two or one?
Well, normally, Eirachon nam bisurim. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says if there's no complainers, nobody's doubting it, nobody's questioning it, a Kohen, one witness is enough. The first opinion of the Mishnah, when Reuven says on himself and the other guy, he also agrees one opinion is one witness is enough. The Shimon Gamliel says at the end, also one witness is enough. Why? Because they don't have bisurim. That's bottom line. No, not matter. Only by kosher treif, you know, mutter aser, but not by monetary. Monetary, the Torah says, "Pishnah, you made them yokum dov." You need two.
This is case of isurim. What?
Kohen. Yeah.
Like not to eat this or not to melt, that's it called, they call it isurin?
Yeah. But what's interesting, they bring down the Greek said the Rishonim right, that if a guy says I'm a Kohen, even according to the opinion that you don't believe him, he still cannot go to cemeteries. Because he put this isur on himself. We don't give him the advantages of a Kohen, so to speak, but the disadvantages of a Kohen that he has to keep. He can't marry a grusha, he can't marry a divorcee, he can't marry, you know, he can't marry those people that wouldn't be allowed to marry. Okay, now, the Gemara is not even explaining our Mishnah yet. The Gemara asks a question like this. Kol hani lomeli. It's very interesting. I don't know why the Gemara asks this question here. There's a bunch of cases in this Perek, starting from Rabbi Yeshua, okay? I'll give an example. Remember a guy said, all the way in a long time ago, this field was your father's, but I bought it from him. All the Pesha Asa cases, right? The first case was, a guy, nobody knew anything. I come over to you and said, you know this field that I have? It was your father's, but I bought it from you. From him. Remember that case. Next one was, this is our writing, but we were forced to sign it. Again, all the Pesha Asa Pesha Yitin. Or a lady comes along and says, I'm married, I was married, but I'm divorced. Remember all the, because we don't know anything without them, so it's Pesha Asa Pesha Yitin. So the Gemara is asking, why do I need all these cases telling me basically the same din that Pesha Asa Pesha Yitin? Why do I need a case of the field was your father's? Why do I need a case that the witnesses were coerced to sign? Why do I need a case that the woman said I was married but I'm divorced? Why do you need all these cases if it's really, in essence, the same din?
Different areas.
Yeah, but why can't I learn out? What the Gemara is going to answer is, because they're different areas, you can't learn out one from the next. But the Gemara's original question is, they're all teaching me one din. Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter. The mouth that forbid, permits. Okay? So my answer is like this. See, I need all these cases. The Itana made the Rabbi Yeshua, because if you say Rabbi Yeshua says, even though, remember, Rabbi Yeshua said the whole time, we don't live from her, a woman's never believed to say anything, but if there's a Pesha Asar, so Rabbi Yeshua was made there, Chav Gimel Amid Beis. here, all the way down, all the way, there are a few lines in the bottom.
Achcha.
Rabbi Yeshua says, this field was your father's, but I bought it. He said, I would only think, you know why he's believed over there, Mishum de'ika, the drodah de mamena. There's a potential loss of money on his part. Meaning like this. If a guy, what does the guy say? I'm in a field. Yeah? Nobody's saying a word about it to me. Nobody's complaining. Nobody said a word, right? It's my field. Everybody thinks it's my field. I come over to you and say, you know this field I have? It used to be your father's, but I bought it. So we say he's believed. Right? Over there is more logic to say he's believed. You know why? Because he's hurting himself by saying it was your father's. I'm risking something by saying, it's stupid really for me to say it. Why am I saying this field was your, but I bought it from him. Yeah? I'm still risking because I am questioning my ownership of the field. Because if they can prove I didn't buy it, I'm out. Right? So maybe over there, it's Pesha Asa Pesha Hita, because the guy is so certain that he bought it and he could prove it. So over there he's believed because he must be so certain. But the case of Edim, where the witnesses say, this is our writing, but we're forced. Yeah? The lack of Dra'adimamena, there was no potential loss of money. What do witnesses care what they say? He said, my signature, they're not losing any money. Right? I would think they're not believed. Okay? So we have to be... You need a blackboard. Well, what is it called?
PowerPoint?
PowerPoint, yeah. Okay. One case is the field. One case is the witnesses signing being forced. And the third case, a woman says she's divorced. They're all teaching us one din, Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter. So Gemara is answering, Gemara asks, why do I need all three cases? So Gemara says, because if I had only the case of the field, I would not know that in a regular case of Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter, they're believed. Because you know why by the field they're believed? Because the guy is hurting himself by saying what he's saying. So if he's not certain that he bought it from the father, he would never say it. So over there he's believed. Because he's technically hurting himself, potentially hurting himself by saying what he's saying. But for the case of witnesses signing a document, they say, yeah, it's our signature, but we're forced. How do you know we believe them? Maybe we don't believe them. So now the Gemara says, so let's say the second case of witnesses that we believe him, and for sure the first case of the field we would believe him. Right? So he says, V'itana edim, if it would only say the case of the witnesses that we believe them, mishum de la alma, because they're testifying for others and not themselves. So they're not gaining anything or losing anything. Maybe that's why they're believed. Aval iyo de la nafshi, but in the first case, when the guy is testifying on himself that he bought the field, maybe he wouldn't be believed. In other words, Gemara says, each case has a certain unique power to it that I wouldn't be able to learn out the other case from it. If it only say the case of the field, I would think over there he's believed Peshas and Peshitid because he must be certain. By Edom, they don't care. So they're not, maybe they're not believed. If it says by Edom we believe them, I would say yeah, because they're not testifying about themselves. Why should they lie? But over here by the field, the guy's testifying about himself. Maybe he's not believed. So both cases. Now why do I need the third case? He says like this. And if it would say these two cases, I would think it's only because they're both monetary. By the field, it's a monetary case. The witness is saying this is their signature. It's on a monetary case. So maybe by monetary cases, we say, Pesha Aser, Pesha Hiter, that they're believed. Avo Be'eshes Ish. But when a woman comes along and says, I was married but divorced, where it's a question of a married woman with adultery, with all the stringencies of it, I would think they're not believed. So they tell us, all three Mishnahs, to tell us, by Eishasish, Peshasa, Peshahitr is good, by a field where you're testifying for yourself, it's good, and by you testify for other people, it's also good. So we need the three cases. But now the Gemara asked, but there was another case though. There was another case that said, Nishbisi v'tahirani. I was captured, but I'm pure. Remember, there are no witnesses. And the Gemara says, she said, I was captured, but I'm pure. So we believe her. That's another case, Pasha. Why can't we learn it out from one of those three cases? It's Isser, Eishasish, we have a case. Testifying on yourself, it's another case again. Why do we need that case? So the Gemara says like this. Mishum tekabayin lemista, because at the end of the Mishnah, there's a din. In Mishanisis bo edim, you're right. That case itself, I would learn out from the other three cases. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me the case if a woman says I was captured and I wasn't touched, you believe her? Because to teach us a din of the second half of the Mishnah. It says, in Mishanisis bo edim, if the woman got married, and then the witnesses came and said she got married, she doesn't go out. Remember, she stays married. That's a chiddush I wouldn't know from the other cases. In other words, the case itself, that I was captured, I'm pure. Now we can learn out from the other cases. Peshas and Peshita, the Mishnah wouldn't have to teach us that din. Why does the Mishnah teach us this din? Because there's another din I wouldn't know from the other cases. And that is, that if the woman says I'm pure, I was captured and pure, and she marries a Kohen. And then the Edom come, so then she could stay married to the Kohen. And that I wouldn't know from the other cases. It's similar to an interesting din. If a woman who's married, oh no, let's do it the end. If a woman, before she gets married to a Kohen, says to her husband, a future husband, okay? She's marrying a Kohen. A minute before the chuppah, she says to her husband, I lived with a guy before. Yeah? She can't marry the Kohen. Because she made herself a Zayna, right? She lived with a guy, and the Kohen can't marry a Zayna. So the wedding's off. What happens if the day after the wedding, she says to her husband, guess what? I was with a guy.
You cannot believe him.
Huh?
You cannot believe him.
Him? What does he know?
No, he can't deny her.
I think somebody stupid enough to say, some woman who was getting married, when the 26 says, I slept with a guy and there's no more wedding, what's somebody going to do?
Eat the food in the home. Serve it on pico.
We don't believe her because she wants to get divorced.
Oh, so then the din is, after she's married, she says to the husband, I was with a guy, then she's not believed. Why? So Gemara said, maybe she wants to marry somebody else, and she wants to find an excuse to get the husband to have to divorce her, but before the wedding, believed.
Oh, man.
After the wedding, she's not believed.
Have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What happened here in Shul once? No, not right before the wedding. I'm saying the other way. We were once learning the dinim of a Kohen in Shul. I mentioned the women a Kohen can marry, cannot marry. Whatever. The next day the guy calls me up. He's frantic. He says, I need to come see you right away. Okay. Comes. He says, I have a big problem. After we learned, he says, in Shul, I went home to my wife.
Oh, boy.
And I asked her, were you ever with a guy before we got married? And she said, yeah. She says, what am I supposed to do? I told her, I started laughing. I said, fine, they married, you know, whatever.
Why would he ask a stupid question like that? Why would anybody ask a stupid question?
Because he wanted to know if he could stay married to her. So it's the same thing over here. Here the chiddush is that if she got married before, if the witnesses came right before the wedding and said she was captured, then she can't marry the Kohen, we learned. Because it's not Peshas and Peshiyata. But because it was Peshas and Peshiyata and she got married, and that din I wouldn't learn out from the other cases, so therefore we need, say, even the beginning of the din, that I was captured and I'm pure, that we believe her. Okay. So that's, Gemara says, so that's only good according to the opinion that said Mishanis, this Bo Edim, is only on the end of the Mishnah. When it says I was captured but I was pure. Okay, then it makes sense. But the one that says it on the beginning of the Mishnah says I was married but I'm divorced. My Ikal Amema, what are you going to say at that point? Then the point is a problem. Well, this is the case brought before. Why did the Tana have to mention the case of the woman? Because according to one opinion, this din, that if she was married, she doesn't get divorced, is only not in the case of a capture. Is only the case if a woman says, oh, I was married and divorced. But according to that opinion, the case of capture has nothing to do with if she got married and then the witnesses came. That we learned before the argument in the Gemara. So according to that, that case of the Mishnah that if she got married, she stays married, she doesn't have to divorce, is not speaking about the captured. So why can't I learn the captured from the other cases? Because it's not teaching me any special din. So it says like this, because there's another case I need it for. Because it said, Mishim Tkaboy Lemisna. Because there's another case that says, Shtei Noshim Shenishbu. Two women who are captured, and the Gemara is soon going to explain what this story is. So what happens like this? If two women, but the Gemara is going to say exactly what the case is. Basically, two women are captured, and each one's testifying about the other one. Right? That din we don't have from the other case, not from the field, not from the witnesses' chorus, not from the case of a single woman saying I was captured impure. So it says, "Ushtei noshim shenishbu lomali." Why do I need that case? It's obvious. Why aren't they believed on each other? So Gemara says, "Mao de tema nechesh l'gamelin." And this is an interesting thing. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara later. If a woman says, "You're good." Okay, I come along and say, you're captured and you're pure, and you say, I was captured and I was impure. We say about each other. So the Mishnah says you believe them. But there's a reason to say you shouldn't.
They can't help each other.
They're helping each other. How do you know? Maybe they're both lying. Think about it. I make up with you, you know, you say this, you say about me, and I'll say this about you, and we'll be good. You say I'm a Kohen, I'll say you're a Kohen, and everybody will believe it. We'll be both Kohen. It's a logic not to say it. So the Chiddush is, we still believe them. And that's why it has to say the case of captives, not because of the woman that says I was captured and pure. Because of two captures that they believe to testify on each other, even though we're afraid that maybe they're lying.
You would think testifying on each other is stronger than each one testifying on behalf of themselves.
No. There's a reason to say the opposite. Listen, if I make up with you, you're a Kohen, and you make up with me, I'm a Kohen. That's lies.
But when she's on herself, there's nobody to dispute it.
But that is Peshas and Peshihita. Here, I'm not testifying on myself. I'm saying, you're captured, but you're pure. And you're saying, I was captured and I was pure. So I would think what's called gamelin. And sometimes, by the way, the Gemara says, you are afraid of this favor. The Gemara is going to discuss it soon. Of doing each other a favor, and they both shouldn't be believed. So the Chiddush is, they're still believed. Okay, so then the Gemara asks, V'chein shnei anoshim lomali. So why do we need our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Zeh kohen ani v'zeh mekohen ani. Right? They're not believed. Why do I need that case? I learned it off in the other Mishnah. So the Gemara says, because that's an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Because in our Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to elaborate on this now a lot, it was Rabbi Yehuda says you don't make a kohen based on one witness, and the Chachamim hold you do. So it's not a clear cut din. It has to teach us there's an argument. If a kohen could be a kohen based on the testimony of one witness. So I need to teach us this then. Okay, the Gemara is going to elaborate now on like this. Okay, so it sounds like this. Tan Rabban, Rabban alert. This is this dispute. Ani Kayin v'chaveri Kayin. Two guys come to Besdin. All right. One guy says, "I'm a Kayin, and my friend's a Kayin." And the other one says the same thing. So the din is Naman Lachile Truma. You can give him Truma. This is the Chachamim's opinion. That you can make somebody a kohen on the testimony of one witness, right? So if the witness comes and says, "I'm a kohen and you're a kohen," and you say, "You're a kohen, I'm a kohen," so each one's testifying about the other, and the guy could eat kohen. But in a neman lasi ishe, you don't make him the kohen status. You hear that he could only marry a pure blood, purebred Jewish girl. You know, they would say girls for Kayanim lineage that were undainted and pure. So he said, we don't make them that level of a Kayan. But Chlal, not in this Gemara, I think the Gemara is going to talk about this later, but there's a very interesting question. For a Kayan to work in the Beit, the Kayanim has many statuses. Yeah, for instance, giving him an Aliyah, a Kayan to do Duchen, Berchus Kayanim, to eat Truma, to work in the Beis HaMikdash. These are four different things of a kohen. Now, obviously, the strictest of them all is to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Because a non-kohen who works in the Beis HaMikdash is capital punishment. Correct? Then you have Truma. Because if a Zod, a non-kohen, eats Truma, he also gets capital punishment. Then you have Birchas Kohanim, which is more... Because a first Aliyah... You know, if there's no kohen, anybody gets a first aliyah. You understand? So there's like different stages of being a kohen. So the Gemara says, if each one testifies, "I'm a kohen and you're a kohen," and you say, "I'm a kohen and I'm a kohen," so then he can eat truma, but you can't, the total status of a kohen to marry only pure blood women is not, rabbinically at least, is not allowed. Ad shiyeh shleisha. Until you have three men, meaning, shnayim me'idan al zeh, but shnayim me'idan al zeh. Two testify on one, and two testify on the other. In other words, like this. The first and the second, to make this work, that the highest level of a kohen, yeah, if guys are coming, to make somebody a kohen. You know, a guy walks, in Eretz Yisrael, in the olden days, a few guys roll in, yeah? A guy says, "I'm a kohen," so we learn the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you don't believe him. Not nowadays. In those days, you don't believe him. What happens? One kohen testifies on each other. So it says he could eat truma, because one witness is enough to testify that he's a kohen to eat truma. As far as the super level of a kohen about marriages, you need, the only scenario would work if there's three people coming. Three people coming and say like this. I'm number one. I say, "I'm a kohen," and you and him are kohenim. You come along and say, "You're a kohen," and me and him are kohen. And you're the third guy, say, "You're a kohen," and us two are kohenim. So basically, each one of us has two witnesses testifying on each one of us. About me, you two are testifying I'm a kohen. When it's you, me and him, first and third are testifying you're a kohen. And for the third, one and two are testifying you're a kohen. So you have two witnesses, but if you only have two people coming, and each one testifying about themselves and the other, it's only one witness. So it wouldn't be enough to make him the ultimate kohen. Okay, so he says like this. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda argues. And he says, Af eine neman lachile betruma. He argues in the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah says, two people come, I testify on you, and you testify on me. Right? The guy could eat truma. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Af eine neman lachile betruma, achi yishleisha. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need two witnesses to make a guy be able to eat truma. Not one witness. The first opinion says, one witness, eidach hanam bisun. One witness is enough to testify that the guy's a kohen. So if I say you're a kohen, that's one witness. If you say I'm a kohen, again that's one witness. So the first opinion says, to eat truma, one witness is enough. Right?
You can be a partial Kohen, so to speak.
No, you either.
You can be a Kohen who can't serve the Beis HaMikdash but could eat Truma. How can you have something like that?
Oh, you can have a blemished Kohen.
Oh, I see.
If you have a blemish.
So one witness makes a blemished Kohen.
No, but I'm saying.
Stats of blemished Kohen.
Yeah. Kohen
of limited
status. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not going to be enough to testify that a guy could eat Truma, because one witness is not enough for Rabbi Yehuda holds.
See, but here's my issue.
One second. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need two. Now, the only way you can have two witnesses on everybody is you have a minimum of three people. Right? Each one says, I'm a kohen and you two are kohenim. So therefore, in each one, there's two. What?
Well, once you've established that you have one witness has made him a kohen, once he goes around saying that he's a kohen, then, you know, maybe if a couple of years later he says, I'm a kohen, I can serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and nobody knows for better, and he goes in the Beis HaMikdash, he starts serving, when he shouldn't be.
No, so that's a whole long,
it's dangerous.
Long Gemara. What one of the big jobs of the big Beis Din of 71 in the Kodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Lishchas HaGozes, the big Beis Din, says one of the main jobs they had daily was figuring out a kosher kohen and not a kosher kohen.
Really?
Not only blemishes. Blemishes are easy. If a guy is missing a hand, you see right away. I mean, you know, but I'm saying the main job that the big Beis Din did every day, how many court cases did they have that nobody else could settle? You know, and you're not talking about appointing a king or adding on to Yerushalayim when you need, you know, in certain cases you need the big Beis Din. What did the big Beis Din do a whole day? How many cases were already that the lower courts couldn't handle? Mm-hmm. They didn't know the answer
Not
to.
Not many, right?
Not many. So it says in the Gemara, one of the main jobs they did was figure out a kosher kohen and not a kosher kohen. Lineage.
They kept a log.
They had to bring witnesses. Listen, even today, one of the big problems in today's world, in Yiddishkeit, people come and say, I'm Jewish. How do you know? You want to marry them. How do I know they're Jewish? So, in fact, in Israel, if you want to get married in Israel by the Rabbanut, you have to get, like, you come from America, you want to get married in Israel, you need to bring a letter from your frum rav that the Beis Din there accepts, that you know the person, and you know them to be Jewish, and then, you know, they trust you that the guy's Jewish. Otherwise, how do you know they're Jewish?
Yeah, they don't do it in L.A.
In L.A., well, the people, there's no official Beis Din to do it, but you have to find out. I get a country calls from Shluchim.
I know many cases that the Persian, they go to the Jewish school, the mother is not Jewish, but the father is Jewish. I mean,
right.
Milan, Iran, everything, Orthodox, but...
So, Afidin, the rabbis have an obligation to check it out before they do a wedding, to make sure the person's not Jewish. And the biggest problem of them all, by the way, is off the record, the Russians. The Russians came now, there was a mass, you know, years ago. Mm-hmm. The Russians moved, took over Israel. The lineage. No, but the lineage. Because by them, if they know it's better to say Jewish, they'll say Jewish.
Sure. We'll get out of...
And then you can't say, where's your Ksuba? I was under Stalin. Ksuba under Stalin, you know. Right. Under the first Tsar 3,000 years ago.
Seriously, Israel about these guys.
Yeah, well, in America also.
What about the French Jews? There's a lot of them there.
No, I'm saying you have to talk and find out if a person...
I know in Romania, I just came from Romania, you know, I go there a lot, so I know in Romania there's a lot of people who pretend to be Jewish
sure.
in order to get out of Romania.
Right. And the same thing, to get out of Russia, if you're a Jewish, they let you out in the later years, they let you out easier. So this is, so, you know, the Yuchsin aspect of it is a very complicated aspect. Because, let's say the woman says she's Jewish and she's not. Right? So then you have to find out that, you know, maybe she's not Jewish and then the guy's marrying a non-Jewish girl and all the kids are non-Jewish. And then meanwhile, you know what the mishmash it makes in there.
Yeah.
So one of the main functions of the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash was, so a guy, just because, in fact, the Gemara says, the Machlekes, Gemara says like this, just because a guy was called Kayin to Aliyah does not allow him to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. There's an argument, if I'm not mistaken, there's an argument in the Gemara, a kohen that was muchzak to eat truma, is that enough to make him allow him to work in the Beis HaMikdash? Sure, it's still not enough. You'd need to do more research.
Mashiach, Mashiach's here, supposedly.
Yeah, we know.
Won't he know who's kohenim or who's ladies? Sure. Who are these people?
Wouldn't
he know that?
That's
Eliyahu
HaNavi,
no? But he would know that, wouldn't he?
The Gemara says in Kedushin, though, that people that lived as Jews for many, 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 many years, there's going to be a chazaka that they're Jewish. Okay. But, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to look at you and go, Jewish, not Jewish. I mean, no.
They'll tell you if you're a kohen or not, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when he comes out that way, when he comes
there.
When he comes there. They're going to
tell you which tribe you're from.
When he comes there,
we'll check you out.
When's he coming?
I will book him a ticket.
Why you need a big court, not a small court, to be Dayan? Why you need a big court, 71?
Because it's very complicated.
Yeah? But wait, it's not
enough. No, technically.
It's not enough nefashot or something.
You're right. In fact, even in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a Bezin of Chav Gimel also. Right outside the Beis HaMikdash, there's a Bezin of Chav Gimel.
Well, hello.
Is that a credit card
like
attached to your phone?
No, it's not attached. It's under the case.
Isn't it a little dangerous to
in
case you lose your
phone? Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yehuda says they're not believed to make each other a kohen unless if you have two, right? You need three people to be able to have two witnesses. So the Gemara says, it sounds like the argument the Chachamim hold. Well, each one's believed on the other one. And Rabbi Yehuda says they're not believed on the other one. So, it sounds like the argument is, are we afraid of favors or not favors? I'll do you a favor, you do me a favor. Chachamim say, we're not afraid that the people are doing favors to each other. If they say you're a kohen and I'm a kohen, we believe them. Yeah? And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not good enough. You need two witnesses. Is maybe he holds that you are afraid of favoritism and therefore they're not believed because they're going to lie. But the Gemara said,
make themselves a kohen.
Exactly. The Gemara said, but we just heard the opposite between Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to our opinion, the way our Gemara is learning, Rabbi Yehuda says we're afraid of favors, therefore they're not believed. Chacham, we're not afraid of favors and therefore they are believed. The Gemara said, but we learned in the Mishnah differently. There's a Mishnah like this. Achamarim shenichnasu liir, donkey drivers, or today truck drivers, are coming with a load of
grain.
Va'amar echad mehem, and one of them says like this, Shali chadosh, v'shal chaveda yoshin. My grain is new, meaning you're not allowed to eat it, because it's not Pesach yet, they bring your korban omer, it's called chadosh today, but my friend is the old one. Okay? Or, no, that's not the way Taisus is learning.
Would the other person say the same thing?
No, one second. Rashi and Taisus are learning differently. It's mine is new and my friend's is old. And therefore, older grain is better. Okay, because it's dried out. Basically, the guy says like this. I have food, I have grain, and my friend has grain. Two guys are driving a donkey. Okay, with grain.
One donkey, two guys?
One truck, two trucks, it doesn't matter. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven said, my grain is inferior, but my friend's grain is good. Okay? And he says, Shali ain't a misukin. The guy says, mine is not tithed yet. The Shachaveda misukin. Okay? But my fellow's, it has been tithed. Okay? So ain't a nemen, he's not believed. In other words, because they're ma'aris, they're not believed.
He's not believed?
Yeah. I'll explain this. Rabbi Yehuda says Nemani is believed. What's the case over here? Why shouldn't I believe this guy? He says, my stuff is not so good, my friend's stuff is good. I have new grain, he has old grain. Old grain is better. Mm-hmm. Mine was not tithed, his was tithed. Okay? The first opinion says, ain't a nemen, he's not believed. Why isn't he believed? Even though, seemingly by saying that his friend's grain is better, that's a reason to believe him.
Right.
Because normally, if I want to sell my stuff, I'm going to say my stuff is better than your stuff.
Exactly.
Nevertheless, he's not believed. Why? Because the friend is going to do it back to him.
Later.
They make up. You know, I'll say mine is no good, yours is good, and you come later and say yours is good, not so good, and mine's good. So, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Neman, they are believed. Because they might, what does the Chacham say, Ein Neman? Because he says, they're not believed because we're afraid they made up to testify falsely against each other that their own grain should be able to be good.
Right.
And that's the Chachamim. Mm-hmm. That's the opposite of what we just learned. In our Mishnah, Chachamim say, we're not afraid of favors. This Brat Mishnah says, Chachamim hold, we are afraid of favors, and therefore they're not believed. Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah says, they're believed because we're not afraid of favors. And in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, they're not believed because we are afraid of favors.
Is it contradicting each other? He says, my grain is not good, he's good. He's going to say, mine is not good, he's good.
So one has to not together, not in front of each other.
One has to do with money.
Not in front of each other. Later on.
One has to do with yichus, one has to do with money.
In the city, in the next best city, they'll do it differently. Not to one in front of each other.
If he's not in front of later on, but it's
these guys are money. Traveling with each other, yeah? They're going from city to city. The villages were not that big. Yeah? Me and you are merchants. We're selling grain. We both want to get our grain sold. So what advertisement can we do?
Isn't that similar to the two Jews who go sit by a church, one wears a cross, one wears a...
Yeah.
The same idea.
Same idea. Don't teach him his business, though. So he says like this, in this town, village A, I'm going to say my stuff is no good, your stuff is good. My stuff is not tithed, your stuff is tithed. Then everybody's going to buy your stuff. Number one, it's inferior. Secondly, it's tithed. We come to the next village, we'll reverse it.
Because they shouldn't... believe these people.
So Rabbi Yehuda says they are believed. Because we're not afraid they're going to be lying like this. If a Jew says something, we believe him. The Chachamim hold, no, they're not believed, because we are afraid of favoritism, of favors. That's mamish the opposite of our opinions here. Our Mishnah says the Chachamim hold, they are believed, because we're not afraid of favors. Rabbi Yehuda says they're not believed, because we are afraid of favors. And over there it says just the opposite, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. You know, they tell a story, there was a big rav going with a wagon driver, Balagolo. And the rabbi was a very humble Jew. And after a while, you know, the wagon driver got a little bit jealous, all the honor and respect that the rabbi got, and he was the Balagola, the wagon driver. So he asked the rabbi if in the next town they could switch positions. The rabbi will be the wagon driver and he'll be the rabbi. So he's changed hats, you know, come to the city. The rabbi's getting a lot of respect. And all of a sudden, somebody came over to the Balagolo, acting rabbi, with a question. And he didn't know the answer. What do you do? So he says, that's such a ridiculous question, even my wagon driver knows the answer. Even the Balagolo knows the answer. So you, each one testifying about the other. So the Gemara says like this, Amar Abba'ad Abba'ava, you're right, Mechlefes Hashita. You're right, one of the Mishnahs you have to switch around. We have a contradiction. In our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says they're not believed. The Chum say yes. Over there it says, Rabbi Yehuda says they're believed, and the Chum say no. So switch one Mishnah around, and they both say the same thing. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda holds they're not believed, and the Chum hold they're believed. Okay? Amar Abba'ya says no. La'elam lay tepach. You don't have to turn it around. Either is a contradiction. Here Rabbi Yehuda says they're believed, and here Rabbi Yehuda says they're not believed. So he said, but demai hekilu. This is all demai. The grain of an amoritz. And I'll explain this in a second. Rave ami ha'oritz master and he most illiterates do tithe the products. Therefore, when the guy says the stuff was tithed, we believe him. In other words, like this. There's tithings. Yep. So Gemara says in the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was, you know, Kohen Gadol for 80 years and then he became this tzeduki. So he sent shluchim all over Eretz Yisrael to see if the Jews were tithing, you know, this Bikurim and Truma and Meiser and Meiser, you know, all the tithings. So he sent shluchim all over Eretz Yisrael to check it out. Shluchim came back with their annual report that Truma, everybody does, Meiser not. Meiser and the other givings they don't do. Why? Because Truma, biblically, one small kernel giving Truma is good enough for a whole farm. There's no amount biblically how much Truma you have to separate. The Chachamim gave, if you're a nice guy, 1/40th, middle guy, 1/50th, cheap guy, 1/60th. But min ha-Torah, one thing of Truma frees a whole barn. And Truma was strict because if he ate it without tithing it, Trumaing it, it was capital punishment. So Truma, everybody was giving. Why not? You take one little kernel, big deal, okay? Meiser's 10%. And this is this percent, and that's that percent, you know. So they saw that a lot of the illiterates, the Amaratzim, were not tithing properly. So the days of Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Chachamim made a takana. And they said, grain of an Amaratz is what's called Dmai. Dmai is two words, Da-Mai. This, what is it? Meaning, we don't know. So the Chachamim said, Amaretz is not believed to say he tithed. In other words, even if he didn't say anything, the Gemara says like this, Atamen Chacham, the day the stuff came into the barn, it was already tithed. They don't wait the second, they do it right away. God forbid nobody should come and eat, you know, untied stuff. Amaratzim, they didn't do it. So the Gemara says even more than that. Even if an Amaratz says he tithed, we don't believe him. Because they lied. Interesting, we learned this then. And Shabbos, if Amaratz says it's tithed, we believe him on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, because an Amaratz doesn't lie on Shabbos.
Even
an Amaratz doesn't lie on Shabbos.
That doesn't apply now. Back then, maybe.
You mean about lying? No, the Rebbe said, you find people lie Shabbos. Because you don't take away free choice. In other words, by nature, the Gemara says the Jew cannot lie on Shabbos. So there's something called the Mai. So in Amaratz, because this case of the donkey drivers, Rashi says they're both Amaratzim. Okay? So when the guy comes, and he says, his was tithed, one opinion says you don't believe him, because he's an Amaratz. How do you believe him? Over here, Rabbi Yehuda says, the case of Demai, we do believe him. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says like this. The reality is, most Amaratzim do tithe.
Yeah.
That's what he says. But Demai hikilu, reiv amei ha'aretz ma'asin in me.
Is there a remedy to that?
So 1 minute. Therefore, if one testifies on each other, Rabbi Yehuda says, we have to believe him. So really, Rabbi Yehuda holds, not in the case of Demai, but in the case of what we're learning here before, I'm a Kohen, you're a Kohen.
Why would he jump
to that conclusion? Don't believe him.
Why does he jump to that conclusion? I mean, if he's an Amar Aretz and he knows how to tithe, then he's not such an Amar Aretz. He knows. He has to do it. You know, Amar Aretz, and they don't
didn't only mean illiterate. Amar Aretz meant a guy who's not careful in Yiddishkeit.
Right.
No. So he didn't, couldn't be bothered.
Huh?
You know what it is to give away, you have 100 bushels, you give away 10?
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So.
Is there a remedy?
Do they
know
about this?
Can you buy the Maya and then tithe it yourself? And make it good?
Yes, the Gemara says, if an Amaratz gives you the Maya, you have to tithe it.
But I mean, if they're Amaratz, and they wouldn't know.
Somebody told me
they?
In Israel today, where you have to keep Truma and Maya, you have to separate. They say from the amount that the Tzava, the IDF eats, just the trumas and maises that they separate are massive truckloads and truckloads. The big tractor trailers. Who knows how many tractor trailers of food that they're carrying, which is truma and maises, they have to destroy.
Yeah, take it to the ocean.
Yeah, whatever. Destroy it.
I've seen it.
So it's a lot of stuff.
Put on barges and take it
out. Yeah, out and they dump it and it gets spoiled. And
why not sell it to the cats? Fertilize or
no? No, it's also about no.
Can you give it to the people?
No, it's also about no.
Well.
Can you give it to the people?
So the Gemara's question is, here we say Rabbi Yehuda says he is believed. And the Amishnah with the Kohen, he says he's not believed. So he says over there he's believed because over there most people separate from anyway. So if you have the testimony of one guy saying that we're separated, we believe it. Okay, you know what, we'll stop here because now it's just a whole line of Megillah.
Etrogim of Israel is not also Bahanal?